Welcome to another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Today we have none other than Jason Weaver, decked out in his Chicago Cubs gear, man. What's happening?
Hey, man, I rep those Cubs, man. I love them. Although I'm a born and raised South Sider, I get a lot of hell for it, but I've been a Cubs fan since I was 4 years old, since the days of Andre Dawson. So I was just watching them before we hopped on.
I was just in Chicago. I just landed from Chicago. Let me tell you, at 3 months, June, July, August, that there's no city comparable to Chicago, Illinois. Now, the rest of them 9 months, y'all can have it. But them 3 months of summertime shy is special.
You know what, Bakari? I'm so glad that you said that, man, because a lot of people do not understand how beautiful summertime shy is. You know, unfortunately, in mainstream media, Chicago has this reputation of being like, you know, a very violent city and, you know, with a gangster background and that whole thing. And to some degree, that's very true. Don't get me wrong, that the violence and all that kind of stuff exists there. But there's a time, even in between all of that that's going on, where the city comes together and really comes alive during those summer months. And that's when you see, you know, some of Chicago's best and brightest, from, you know, the people on down to different events and concerts and stuff that we have going on, and just, you know, all the regular stuff that we have around the city for tourists to kind of visit and take part in. So I'm glad you got a chance to feel that love out there. It's beautiful.
Summertime shy, I love it. But look, so we always start our episodes the same way, which we have our guests kind of walk us through the arc of their career. But our folks know you, so we'll skip that usual question. But okay. When did you realize your calling would be? Talk about your early roles in the Women of Rooster's Place, the Lion King, and the Jacksons. And at what point did it click for you that you were just a natural?
Oh, man, great question. I mean, to be honest with you, ever since I was like 4 years old, I think the first film that I can really remember was E.T. And, you know, I saw Drew Barrymore, you know, and the rest of the kids that were cast in that film. And, you know, I knew to some degree it was like, it was make-believe. You know, I knew that this wasn't something that was really happening. These kids were like kind of playing pretend. So, you know, that was a game that I liked to play as a kid, and just play and pretend. I didn't realize then that I was kind of honing my acting skills, but I kind of noticed I had a natural kind of knack to be able to, I don't know, play different personalities, play different kinds of characters. I had the ability to, you know, kind of make people laugh. I had the ability to pick up on dialogue, like almost having like a photographic memory to some degree, with being able just to kind of look at dialogue or look at words on a page, and they just instantly just kind of stuck in my brain. You know, those things, that skill set that I was assessing, I was able to assess at a very early age, at like 5 or 6 years old, you know, when I first got in the business. So, I've been very, very blessed. I've been able to work with some amazing people throughout that time. I'm pretty sure you have questions about that. But my journey throughout the course of all of these years has just been an extraordinary one. And I'm so grateful to God to, you know, to still be able to be here and to be alive, to be happy, to be healthy, and still doing it on a show like, you know, like The Shy.
You know, you can tell you're a natural and somebody who's been in the business for a while, because my next question was literally, talk to me about some of the veterans who you've worked with who helped shape your craft of acting, and who are they and how have they shaped your work?
Oh, another great question. I mean, I've worked with legends, living legends in the game, from, you know, Whoopi Goldberg. I did my first film was with her and Sissy Spacek. It was a film called The Long Walk Home, which was based around two families kind of coexisting during the middle of the Montgomery bus boycott, a Black family and a white family, and just the different worlds that they were living in, you know, during that time. And because of that film, I was able to work with Whoopi and to learn from her, because a lot of my scenes, I played her youngest son in that film. So a lot of my scenes, you know, were with her. Another brilliant actor that was featured in that film, but it yet to kind of ascend to where he's at now, was Ving Rhames. He played my father in that. Erica Alexander, who everybody knows from Living Single, it played my sister. So there were a lot of actors in that particular show that I got a chance to learn a great deal from. You know, even as far as like method acting and things like that, you know, Erica was teaching me different techniques, even at like 9 years old, which ultimately helped me get more roles, like the series Brewster Place. Brewster Place was actually a short-lived series based on, you know, the success of the miniseries Women of Brewster Place. So through that opportunity and that blessing, I got the opportunity to work with, you know, Oprah Winfrey at Harpo Studios. Got to see this, you know, amazing Black woman, you know, that was employing and bringing together other Black actors, specifically in a town like Chicago, where, you know, actors there at that particular time weren't getting a lot of opportunities and a lot of looks. So when we had a show like Brewster Place that was in town, she really took it upon herself to hire a lot of the local talent. And I was one of the people that was fortunate enough to be on that show with her. And then, of course, you know, with people knowing me from the Jacksons miniseries and, you know, from some people knowing about my involvement with The Lion King, you know, on down to ATL. I mean, I'm just, it's been a very beautiful journey so far. And, you know, looking back in retrospect, every, you know, film that I've been a part of, every project, every actor that I've had the honor and privilege of being able to work alongside, whether they were a huge, considered to be a huge star, celebrity, or, you know, just a great actor. It's all been a learning experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I believe your mom was also in the industry. Talk about their experience in the industry and how that helped shape you in both acting and music.
Yes, sir. No, my mother, her real name is Marilyn Haywood, but she goes by Kitty. That's like her nickname or her stage name. Me and my family, my cousins and I, who have gone on to be hugely successful producers, two of them, for example, Tricky Stewart and my other cousin, Coop Carell. Tricky, actually, congratulations, Tricky, if you see this. He just got the new Beyonce single out with Dream right now.
You just dropped that name out there like that's just your, you know, that is the Tricky Stewart.
The Tricky Stewart.
You will not break my soul, Tricky Stewart. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Single Ladies, Tricky Stewart, Umbrella, Tricky Stewart, all that. No, I come from a musical family. And, you know, my mother and my aunts started off in the record industry years ago in Chicago, like early 70s, mid 70s, working alongside with people like, you know, Curtis Mayfield, the Ohio Players, Tyrone Davis. And they were able to experience kind of, you know, moderate success, but kind of short-lived careers as professional singers in the recording industry. They eventually transitioned over into doing like singles in the Chicago area. A lot of people don't know back then, but back in the late 70s, well, mid to late 70s and going into the 80s and 90s, there was a advertisement firm called Burrell Communications, still exists today, started by Tom Burrell. Tom Burrell and his firm basically employed most of, you know, Chicago's Black talent that existed there, whether they were on-screen personalities or talent or actual musicians and singers that were the voices and the creative energy behind some of the biggest ad campaigns and jingle campaigns that ever came out during that time. So, you know, I grew up watching my mother and my aunts have very successful and lucrative, you know, careers in the jingle industry from the late 70s on into the, you know, late 90s when my mother eventually retired. So that was kind of like my training ground. But, you know, even while I was still auditioning as an actor, the times that I was able to go to work with my mom and kind of observe the environment, you know, that she was working in, I was soaking things up like a sponge, even as far as, you know, just the business in itself and, you know, how to conduct yourself in a professional setting like that. Like even as a kid, you know, all of those things I was kind of picking up on due to that environment that my mother had kind of, you know, placed me in indirectly to some degree, because she really wasn't putting me in that environment to, you know, kickstart anything. It was just, I had to go to work with my mom. She was a single mom. You know what I mean? So it that really gave me that opportunity. And, you know, just the things that I've picked up along the way, I still carry with me to this day at 42, going on 43 years old. You know, the things that my mother instilled in me and, you know, my aunts and my grandmother, and even nothing to do with, you know, professionally, but just personally, you know, as a Black man and navigating through this world and this country and You know, there's so many things that my mother shared with me along the way that I'm truly appreciative and thankful for her for doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
You know, for those people who haven't watched The Chi, let's talk about it for a minute. Tell me what it's about. What is The Chi about?
The Chi is, in a nutshell, it's a real story about Black families living on the south side of Chicago that's going through everyday life and navigating through everyday issues that people face, but in particularly what people face on the south side of Chicago. You know, of course, we touch on the violence and we touch on you know, that kind of underworld that exists there. And not only just with, you know, the gangster lifestyle, but also with corrupt politicians, things like that. We talk about, you know, brutality against citizens by corrupt police officers. And we touch on issues that directly affect and are related to the LGBTQ plus community. What else? We talk about women's issues, in particular Black women's issues when it comes to women's health. We touch on a lot of things. And I think that's why the show is able to connect with people in such a meaningful way, is because we're not glorifying anything. We're not glamorizing anything. We're sharing stories and telling stories that actually happen to people, you know, just the day to day in that city. And I think ultimately what it's been able to do is open up people's eyes as well to the real reality of what Chicago is. Because again, you know, to kind of harken back to what I was kind of touching on earlier, you know, mainstream media has a tendency, especially when it comes to the Black community in Chicago, to just present a one-sided view of it just being this very violent, very uncontrollable environment where there, you know, so many, you know, crazy things going on. And, you know, again, respectfully, that kind of stuff does happen, but that's not the experience that I had growing up. And I'm a true Southsider. Like, you know, I grew up going to the Bud Billiken parade and, you know, listening to WGCI on the radio in the summertime when my family was having a cookout, you know, running up and down the street and on the block and, you know, going to the grocery store with my grandmother and going to Trinity, going to church and seeing Pastor Wright, you know, preach on Sunday. You know, that was my upbringing. That was my reality of growing up in Chicago. So I think what the show is basically just doing is giving people that aspect, you know, of what life is like there. And, you know, of course, we're not curing cancer in any kind of way or curing like all the social ills that are, you know, are very well known that exists in the city. But I think we're helping to at least present an honest and truthful portrayal of what life is like there. And hopefully it will educate and enlighten people who maybe aren't that familiar of what goes on the South Side in Chicago. And I know it has an effect because I, you know, I hang with a lot of North Siders because I'm a Cubs fan. I'm always up there. And, you know, for people that don't know, you know, Chicago is a very segregated city. And, you know, the world on the north side is somewhat totally different from the world that exists on the south side. The north side is a more affluent community. I'd say more diverse, but mostly white, you know what I mean? And what I've learned in those conversations, when those friends of mine who I hang out with up there, when they do get a chance to look at the show, we have some very, very interesting conversations based around, you know, the sub, whatever the subject matter was of that particular episode. And what I've learned is that the stuff that we're doing is opening up people's minds and their hearts and allowing them to, you know, see a different side. And I think ultimately that's helping to bridge, you know, people together, bring people together.
Talk to me about Rashad Marshall. Who is he? And what about that role jumped out at you when you first saw the script that you wanted to play it?
Oh, well, Shad, you know, I think the great thing about that character, and why I'm so honored and blessed to be able to play a character like that, is because I knew guys like that growing up. You know what I mean? Like, and those guys that I know or that I've grown up with who are similar to Shad in, based on the journey that they've gone through and the things that they've encountered in life, they rarely get an opportunity to tell their story. They rarely get an opportunity to be shown as, you know, human beings, as men that are just, you know, trying to find their way in a world and in a country that isn't very welcoming or doesn't easily embrace them as they should. And so it's giving me the opportunity as an actor, as a Black man, as a member of that community, to share with people what that experience is like. So that, you know, those men or those people that are have either been in a criminal justice system or, you know, have dealt in like the street life in some kind of way and have made bad decisions along the way. You know, when you see those kinds of people on the news, everybody is so quick to point a finger and everybody is so quick to judge and condemn. But not a lot of people know the backstory that led up to that point. And I think what my character is able to do is, I think, be able to tell that story truthfully, honestly, respectfully. The character has heart. It's not just about what he's going through and the hardships that he encounters and the levels of adversity. But what you also see is this Black man overcoming. And even having enough energy and enough love and compassion in his heart to even reach out to other young Black men in his community and trying to help them and bring them up along the way as well. So, you know, the character initially, I think, is season four. When he was first introduced, I think people probably had an idea that the character was going to go down one way. But I think everyone's been pleasantly surprised to see that, you know, this character has layers and he's growing and he's evolving. And I'm just really excited to, you know, receive people's opinions about how the character's grown in season five.
That brings me to my next question about season five. That's a long time for any show.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think this show stuck so long?
Because it's real. I think the show is sticking along because it's real. And we're unapologetic in our realness. In authenticity and in the stories that we're looking to share and the narrative that we're continuing to thrust out, especially about, you know, the Black experience of living in Chicago and living in America. You know, I think that is connecting because the way, and this is what Lena and the writers and our showrunner, Justin, is so brilliant at doing is like, you know, they're not afraid to tackle issues that are controversial or that are viewed as controversial or, you know, socially or politically relevant for today. They're not afraid to do it because they approach these particular subjects with a level of respect to where when constructing these stories and building out, you know, these stories, they really take the time to think about what the people want to see and what the people want to be let known to others who may not be from that community. And because Lena listens to, you know, her fan base or her followers, or, you know, she stays on social media. And it's not a thing where it's like, you know, the social media aspect influences her work so much that she still can't be truthful as an artist and as a creative putting forth these stories. I just think that she utilizes social media in a way that allows her to listen to the people directly and then to be able to take that energy or those things that the people want put out there, you know, to be put out in a script in a very eloquent and you know, beautiful and artistic and creative way. So I think that's what our immediate community sees and respects and acknowledges. But even people outside of our community, from what I've been told, they can see that as well, that there's a lot of care and attention, you know, put into these stories and these characters that we're thrusting out there.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
How can people watch The Chi and when does season 5 premiere?
Season 5 premieres tomorrow, June 24th on Showtime. You guys can actually check it out, you know, when it comes on, or you can go on the app and start streaming. It's great. What I just like to say is I just encourage people, for those who haven't seen it yet, please give it a shot, because, and I'm not just saying it because I'm on it. It's Black excellence all the way around on that show, man. Like, you know, and I'm not just talking about the actors. I'm talking about, you know, the writing, the writer's room, the producers, you know, on down to our crew members. Everybody comes to work day in, day out, and pours their heart and soul into the show. And you can definitely see it when you look at the actual work on screen. And, you know, for people that are already familiar with the kind of work that we do on there, please continue to rock with us. I think you guys are really, really going to love the direction that we're taking season 5. But again, for those who haven't sat down and tapped in with us, yeah, give us a shot tomorrow and see for yourself what I'm talking about. But, you know, I'm so very, very proud and honored to be a part of The Chi, to be able to represent on behalf of my hometown, on behalf of my people. I'm appreciative to Lena for giving me the opportunity. My sister, I love you. You know, thankful to everybody at Hillman Grad, everybody at Showtime. This is a very fun ride to be on right now.
What else are you working on that you can tell us about? I learned I had to ask you all that question that you can tell us about, because y'all don't want to get
in trouble. No, I appreciate it. As a matter of fact, I'm working on something right now. I'm developing an animated series at Hillman Grad alongside with Lena and Rishi Rajani. It's a animation series called Team Supreme, which was created by a brilliant artist and animator, by a Black animator by the name of Joshua Leonard. And the story, or the show, is based around, you know, kids with disabilities and special needs who have superpowers. And it's a very beautiful project and something that we've been developing for quite some time, because we just want to make sure that we're checking all the right boxes and that we're, you know, handling the different subject matters and things that we're talking about respectfully. But we're just now beginning to roll that out and pitch it. There's another project that I'm currently developing with a good friend of mine, Sherman Dilla Thomas, who's known as like a Chicago historian and cultural ambassador. Brilliant guys. Matter of fact, Bakari, please check him out if you get a chance. I think you would really, you know, appreciate what he's bringing to the table as far as making the world aware of the rich Black history that exists in the city of Chicago, and so many of us who have contributed to making that city great and those stories getting overlooked. He's now shedding light on those. He's also doing tours actual bus tours of the South Side of Chicago and, you know, showing people that aren't familiar with the history there, like, you know, where Muhammad Ali used to live and, you know, where Elijah Muhammad and, you know, all of this history that people, you know, aren't aware of. So anyway, we're developing a project together based on one of our former mayors. I won't get into it too deep about that, but he's writing a brilliant script right now with Thomas Lennon based on that. And yeah, we're actually in development for that right now. And we're going to be pitching that in the fall. And I feel that that's going to be greenlit immediately because it's a subject matter that is still very relevant to what's going on in society today.
Well, Jason Weaver, thank you for joining the show just for a moment. My brother, it's been an honor just to sit across from you. Next time I'm in Chicago, I'm calling you though, so you can take me to the spots.
Hey, I got you. If you come to Chicago in the wintertime, I definitely got you. I wanted to tell you too, Bakari, because I'm here in Atlanta. This is where I reside. Before, and I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to talk your ear off, but I just want to tell you, man, how much I respect you and appreciate you, man, for the brother that you are. I look at you damn near every day on CNN. And I look at you and Nia, Malika Henderson and Van and, you know, Angela. And, you know, when I look at you guys on TV every day representing on our behalf and taking the time to educate our people, you know, not only about politics, but, you know, social issues that are happening not only in this country, but all around the world that affect our people. I just want to tell you, man, I commend you and I thank you for that. And I appreciate you and the rest of the team over there because you guys are doing a hell of a job. Like even during the last election, when we were battling to turn the South blue, you know, all of the hard work that that you put down in South Carolina, you were over here in Georgia. I mean, man, you were everywhere trying to make it happen, trying to make a better way for our people and trying to put people in office that can build legislation that can really, you know, bring about some positive change in our immediate community and just in the country in general. So I just want to tell you, man, it is an honor, an absolute honor to be able to sit across from you today and to have a conversation. And please know, man, I'm going to continue to support you because I think you're a brilliant brother, man. Real talk.
I appreciate that, man. Everybody go check out The Chi starting tomorrow, June 24th. Go check out The Chi. Thank you, Jason. We have a blessed day, blessed weekend, man.
Thank you, Bakari. Same to you, man. God bless you, brother.